This is Brother Gino Cassieri, your instructor for the course in the Book of Joshua. It's a blessing to be with you as we embark on an exciting journey through this, through the 24 chapters of the Book of Joshua. Before we begin with some introductory comments, let's go to the Word and to the Lord in prayer for a moment. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the great God that thou art. We thank you for this wonderful opportunity that you've given us to go through this marvelous book of yours, the book of Joshua. There are just oh so many things for us to see and to learn and to understand and to apply to our lives, Father. I pray that the Holy Spirit would be our guide and teacher through the book of Joshua, dear Lord. I pray that you would bless each student that's taking this course and be with them as they take notes and listen intently, Lord. I pray that you'd open up each heart and mind to receive your word. Father, I just pray that you'd bless each faculty member and persons involved with Andersonville Baptist Seminary. We thank you for the folks down there and for the good school and the teaching, the sound teaching that's going on at the school. Father, now, as we begin our study together in the book of Joshua, we just pray and we ask these things in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen. I just want to go through just for a moment how the course is going to be laid out. You'll notice in the material that was sent to you, you should have a course outline for the book of Joshua. It's very important that you have this. It's your roadmap. It shows you the direction we'll be going and the things that we'll be looking at as we study through this book of Joshua. You'll notice that the way that this course is broken out. In total, there'll be 25 individual lessons. One lesson will cover each of the 24 chapters, and also we're going to have an introductory lesson on some introductory materials on the book of Joshua. So you'll see that there'll be 25 lessons all together. And then you'll notice on the exam questions that they're listed by lesson. By lesson. Very important for you to notice these things before we begin. The other thing I want to mention is whenever we look at the scriptures, there are three ways that we can look at them. For example, the first way would be historically. Now, historically, the book of Joshua talks about how the children of Israel, under the leadership of Joshua, crossed the Jordan River to go and settle the land, the promised land that God has given them. We get the historical accounts and the events that take place. So that's one way that we can look at the scriptures is historically. Second way we can look at scripture is doctrinally. Who does it apply? Does it apply to the church age saint or the Jew, or just exactly who does it apply to? And in particular, the book of Joshua doctrinally applies to the Jews, amen? To the Jews. The Jews under the Old Testament law. And then, of course, the last way we can look at Scripture is spiritually. Now, even though doctrinally and historically, maybe the book of Joshua doesn't apply to you and I as Christians in the church age, but there's certainly lessons and principles that we can learn from the book of Joshua that we can apply to our daily lives as we walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I'm going to try to do, is give you some emphasis, I believe, in this course will be on the practical application of things that we can apply to our lives as Christians, some of the principles that we can learn, amen, But we'll also get into some historical and some doctrinal matters too. So it's just my prayer that you'll enjoy this journey together as we go through the book of Joshua. All righty then. Our first lesson before us is, like I said, it's a study of introduction material on the book of Joshua. And first I'd like to look at some statistical information regarding the book of Joshua. Well, what do I mean by statistical? Well, for example, the book of Joshua is the sixth book of the Bible. There are 24 chapters in the book of Joshua. And within those 24 chapters, there are 658 verses and 18,858 words. Now, what we're going to see in the book of Joshua, there's a lot of typology. We want to look at, as we go through these introductory comments, the typology of the book. Now, the theme of the entire Bible, of course, is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is really on every page of the book. Amen. And if you think of it that way, the Bible is like a family picture album. And if the theme of the entire Bible is Jesus Christ, then it's a picture album full of pictures of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything in the Bible points to Jesus Christ in his redemption of mankind at the cross. These are what we call types or pictures. Types or pictures. Now, a type is an Old Testament picture of a New Testament truth. Let me repeat that again. A type is an Old Testament picture of a New Testament truth. Now what I'd like to do, and I'd ask you to get, hopefully you better be taking notes, amen, is we're going to make a chart. And the chart's going to have two columns. The first column will have the Old Testament. And then in the second column we'll have the New Testament. And what we're going to look at is some things in the Old Testament that pictures a New Testament truth. Amen? We're going to look at a type in the Old Testament and the picture of the New Testament truth. So we're going to we'll list the Old Testament type, and then we'll list the corresponding New Testament truth for our chart. Amen. The first thing we want to see is Israel. Israel under the Old Testament. Corresponding to that under the New Testament would be the Christians in the church. So Israel is a picture or a type of the Christian or the church. And then, of course, we see Egypt. Egypt is a picture, and now Egypt under the Old Testament, a picture, a type of the world under the New Testament. And then Pharaoh. Pharaoh under the Old Testament is a picture, a type of the Antichrist under the Old Testament. Again, we're constructing our chart here. We're under the column for the Old Testament. The Passover lamb is a picture or type of Jesus being our sacrifice. The Exodus is the old picture or type of, in the New Testament, of becoming a follower of Jesus. The Red Sea, in the Old Testament, we see the picture or type of getting baptized in the New Testament. Canaan, the Promised Land, in the Old Testament, is a picture or type of the Christian's life. Joshua, in the Old Testament, is a picture or type of Jesus leading to victory. Then we have the Ammonites and the Midianites and all the other ites in the Old Testament in the land of Canaan. They're a picture or type in the New Testament of the Christians, of our spiritual enemies. The rock in the wilderness in the Old Testament is a picture or type of Jesus at his first coming. The stone in Daniel's vision, we see the picture or type in the New Testament is Jesus at his second coming. That's what it foreshadowed. Leprosy under the Old Testament is a picture or type of sin. Then the last but not least is oil under the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it's a picture or type of the Holy Spirit anointing. So let me just recap so we're sure that we have this information. Under the column on your chart for Old Testament, you should have these listed as following in this order: Israel, Egypt, Pharaoh, Passover lamb, the Exodus, the Red Sea, Canaan, Promised Land, all on one line, Joshua, Ammonites, Midianites, etc., the rock in the wilderness, stone in Daniel's vision, leprosy, oil. Now, corresponding under the New Testament, your column on your chart, for the New Testament, you should have as follows: Christians, the church. Next, the world. Next, the Antichrist. Next, Jesus being our sacrifice. Next, becoming a follower of Jesus. Next, getting baptized. Next, the Christian's life. Next, Jesus leading to victory. Next, our spiritual enemies. Next, Jesus at his first coming. Next, Jesus at his second coming. Next, sin. And then finally, Holy Spirit anointing. Now, prophetically, the book of Joshua is a picture of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Inspirationally, it is a picture of two things. These are the two things that inspirationally it is a picture of. First, the work of Jesus Christ in the life of the believer, bringing more and more of him under his control. The Christian warfare, as the Christian conquers various areas of their own life, as he fights against the world, the flesh, and the devil. The book of Joshua gives a lesson how to carry on a spiritual warfare. It's a military book laying out our orders as how to engage the enemy and win. Every Christian, according to the Word of God, is supposed to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we see the use of many military terms used in the Bible, especially in the epistles of Paul the Apostle. For example, here are some of them. We're told as Christians to fight the good fight. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Every Christian as a good soldier of Jesus Christ is to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. No man that warreth entangleth himself. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. We are told as Christians, as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. We are commanded, as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And then we're told, as Christian soldiers, good soldiers of Jesus Christ, to put on the whole armor of God. In Ephesians chapter 6, in verse number 11. Now the book of Joshua also explains your newfound inheritance in Christ. It tells us you have to fight to maintain it. And when you get saved, you don't get to rest, you get ready to fight. Amen? You know, if God just, after we got saved, that was it, He'd take us home. Amen? But we're not just to sit back and sit on the sidelines per se. We're supposed to be in the fight. We're to get ready to fight, amen, not to rest. We'll have the rest when we get to heaven someday, amen. Praise the Lord for that. We'll be out of the battle. The victory, the total victory will have been won, amen. Now, the title of the book of Joshua. This book deals mainly with the life and leadership of one man, and that one man is none other than Joseph, the son of Nun. The author of the book of Joshua, of course, is Joshua, and the writer is Joshua, like I said, just as Moses wrote himself under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Let's turn in our Bibles. I failed to mention that, of course, the Bible that we use, the Word of God that we use, is the King James Bible. So if you need to have, it's very important, very vital to have a King James Bible to get anything out of our study. Amen. Second Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse 19 and following, we read, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Amen. So this is the prophecy of Scripture isn't something that, you know, man came up with. It's not his private interpretation, but it tells us how prophecy came. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost wrote this book, amen? Holy Spirit wrote this book. Now, the significance of the name Joshua. It means Jehovah saves. Joshua is the Old Testament name for Jesus. Joshua, in fact, is called Jesus in two places in the New Testament. Let's look at them. First of all, we have Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7 with me. Acts chapter 7 and verse number 45. Acts 7, 45. In Acts chapter 7 and verse number 45, we read, "For also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers under the days of David." And of course, what you have here is the preaching of Stephen just before he was stoned. And he's giving an account of the history of Israel. Amen. And he's talking about the account of Joshua. But we see the name Jesus used here. Amen. And as he drove out the enemies in the face of the children of Israel. Another place we see where Joshua is called Jesus in the New Testament is in the book of Hebrews, if you turn there. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 8. "For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterwards have spoken of another day?" And of course, it's talking about Joshua once again, and in relation to Canaan. Now, we must remember that again, that Joshua's name means Jehovah saves. And in, from the Hebrew to the English, it's translated Joshua, amen. And in the Greek, it's translated Jesus. So it's no wonder that in some ways Joshua is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Joshua was one of the original 12 spies that were sent out by Moses to spy out the promised land. And we see that the list of spies in Numbers chapter 13 is given in the book of Numbers chapter 13 in verse number 8. Numbers 13 verse 8. And we see, it says, "Of the tribe of Ephraim, Oshea," or Joshua, that's what that's saying, "the son of Nun." The son of Nun. And of course, we know the story of what happened, that the 12 spies were sent out, one from each tribe, and they went into the land to spy out the land, and they came back. The 10 of the 12 gave an evil report, discouraged the people so they didn't go into the promised land. But we know that Joshua and Caleb came back and they said, "Hey, it's a great land. We can take it. Let's go up and take it. God said he'd be with us." Amen. So we see right then and there that he was a man of character. Amen. A man that trusted in God. And we'll talk more about that later on. Now, he becomes, we know later on, an assistant to Moses. He was a servant to Moses. And then ultimately, we see that he will be called of God to replace Moses. And we see this if we turn to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy with me. In Deuteronomy, chapter number 31, in verse 23, Deuteronomy 31, 23. "And he gave Joshua, the son of Nun, a charge and said, 'Be good and of strong courage, For thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. So we see that he's going to become Moses' replacement, amen? Take the children of Israel into the promised land. Now, the date of the writing of the book of Joshua is approximately 1400 B.C. And just to give you a little bit of a timeline, some events, Israel leaves Egypt in approximately 1450 B.C. Moses dies after finishing Genesis through Deuteronomy, and that would be around 1400 B.C. Then Joshua takes over, again around 1400 B.C., and then Solomon is around 1000 B.C. So the date of the writing of the book of Joshua, again, is around 1400 B.C. Now, who was Joshua's audience? Who was he speaking to? Well, we know to the Jews, and in particular to the Jews, his message was to remember what God did to establish them in the land. Amen? And then, of course, spiritually, Joshua, which in type would be a pictured type of Jesus, would be speaking also spiritually to the Christian. And look what we see in the Bible has to say in Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, in verse number 4. We're told, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." We see the purpose of God's Word. Now, when someone says, well, the Old Testament doesn't apply to the New Testament Christian, well, doctrinally, no. But boy, there it says here that the things that were written before were for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. You know, in other words, that we can learn by others' mistakes. Amen? I mean, the children of Israel didn't enter the promised land, that generation that fell in the wilderness because of unbelief. And can't we learn a lot about unbelief and what it'll do to our, how devastating it is to our Christian walk, and how we never get victory because of our unbelief? So the things in Scripture in the Old Testament can speak to the New Testament Christian, certainly. And so, in some ways, Joshua is speaking to you and I today. And we can learn some things. That's why it's so very important to go through each book of the Bible, amen, and study it. Because there's something that we can obtain from that, that God can show us, that we can use practically in our lives, and that we can apply it to our lives as Christians. Now, what about the importance and significance of this book of Joshua? How you approach this book will determine how you approach the Christian life and the second coming of Christ. Remember at the beginning we just said a few moments ago how prophetically it pictures the second coming of Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy, chapter number 4, 2 Timothy, chapter number 4, Paul wrote these words. He says, "Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only," Paul says, "but unto all them also that love his appearing." Again, prophetically, the book of Joshua pictures the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's how you should be looking at this book, looking at things that you can pull out of it. prophetically that talk about the second coming. And if you love his appearing, as the Bible says, it's going to be a crown of righteousness given to those who love his appearing. How are you approaching the book of Joshua? How is your heart approaching the second coming of Jesus Christ? Are you looking for him? Are you waiting? Are you anticipating him coming any day now? Do you love his appearing? Are you looking for him? Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal what your heart is saying about that. The theme. What about the theme of the book of Joshua? The theme. Well, the theme of the book of Joshua would be the conquest of enemy territory. The conquest of enemy territory. The fulfillment of the promises made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob regarding possessing the land of Canaan. Amen. He promised that land to them. And now we see that fulfillment of the children of Israel going into the land that was promised to their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The conquest of enemy territory. And also, along with that, would be fighting the good fight. Amen? Fighting the good fight. It's a worthy cause. God had promised them the land. And now they were going to possess it. And there was going to be a fight on their hands. They were going to have to fight the enemy. Amen. The enemy, the children of the devil, those Amorites, amen, we talked about when we were looking at pictures or types, amen, the Midianites, the heathen that were in the land, would be our spiritual enemies today, amen, that we're fighting today, that we're fighting against. The children of the devil, amen. That's right. So we have to fight the good fight as Christians today, just as the Israelites were to fight a good fight back then as they came in and possessed the land of Canaan. I want to talk a little bit now about the placement of the book of Joshua within the other 66 books of the Bible. Now, it's a part of the Old Testament that follows the law of Genesis through Deuteronomy. And if you think about it, the placement of the book of Joshua is like the placement of the book of Acts. The Pentateuch accounts of the person and works of Moses, the lawgiver. The Gospel gives the accounts of the person in works of Jesus Christ, the grace giver. Joshua details the establishment of the Jews in the land of Canaan. And Acts details the establishment of the New Testament church in the lives of believers. Amen. So we see a similarity about how the placement of the book of Joshua is similar, or like that of how the book of Acts is placed. Now, I want to give you a simple outline. I want to give you a simple outline of the book of Joshua. First, in chapters verses 1 through 5, we have the preparation. The preparation in chapters 1 through 5. And within the preparation, we see, number 1, to serve. To be a great leader, you must be a great servant. Jesus taught that in Mark chapter 10, verse 44. But we saw before Joshua could become a great leader, He was a great servant under Moses, amen. And then also under the preparation, we see to fight. Fight the battles ahead, amen. We see we have to fight the battles ahead instead of running for them. Do you ever notice in the Ephesians chapter 6, the full armor of God? There's nothing on the back of the Christian, amen, because he's never to run. He's to always to stand, amen, not to run. Fight the battle. And then finally, under preparation, not only to serve, to fight, but also to win. Win instead of constantly losing. Amen. We'll see that in verses 1 through 5. And then, so that would be A, the preparation. B would be the pulverization in chapters 6 through 12. In other words, fight for your inheritance. Then C, we'd have the possession in chapters 13 through 19. And then D, we'd have the protection, chapters 20 to 21. And you'll see under those chapters the cities of refuge. And then finally, E would be the perseverance in chapters 22 to 24 to finish the job and stay faithful to God and not be half-hearted. So again, that simple outline for the book of Joshua would be the preparation in chapters 1 through 5, the pulverization in verses 6 through 12, the possession in chapters 13 through 19, the protection, chapters 20 to 21, and the perseverance in chapters 22 to 24. Now I want to look at, as we conclude, lesson number one to the book of Joshua, which has basically been an introduction to the book, is we want to see, what are we going to find in the book of Joshua? Well, we're going to find that there'll be the salvation of Rahab the harlot, amen. We'll see that when the spies are sent out to spy out the city of Jericho and she gives them refuge, amen. We'll see that. We'll also see the Jordan River parting, just like the Red Sea did. So we'll see another parting, but this time it's going to be the River Jordan, which the Israelites will have to cross over to get into the Promised Land, amen? And then we'll see that fantastic account of the fall of the great city of Jericho, amen? When they circle the city, around the city 7 days, amen, and the walls literally came tumbling down, amen. And then we see, because of sin in the camp, we see the defeated Ai due to someone's secret sin. And we'll talk about that later on. We'll see a battle, an account of a battle, where the sun and the moon actually stood still at Joshua's command. We'll see the dividing up of the Promised Land to the 12 tribes. We'll discuss that. We'll look at the six cities of refuge and what those are all about. We'll see that the 2 1/2 tribes attempting to compensate for being out of the will of God. We know that 2 1/2 tribes settled on one side and the rest of the tribes settled on the other side of the Jordan River. And then finally, we'll see and we'll look at the death of Joshua. The death of Joshua and Israel struggling with how to follow God without great leadership. Amen. Trying to keep God as their leader. So again, we'll see the salvation of the Rahab harlot, the Jordan River parting just like the Red Sea, the fall of the great city Jericho, the defeated Ai due to someone's secret sins, a battle where the sun and moon stand still at Joshua's command, the dividing up of the promised land of the 12 tribes, the 6 cities of refuge, the 2.5 tribes attempting to compensate for being out of the will of God, and then finally the death of Joshua and Israel struggling with how to follow God without great leadership. And like I said, we're going to be able to, again, even though this is a an Old Testament book, amen, the book of Joshua, still there's going to be many practical applications that we can take, that we can spiritualize and take and be able to apply to our life in the present day as Christians. So it's my hope and prayer that as we go through this course that, you know, not only we'll learn some historical things about the children of Israel and the things that they encounter, amen, and doctrinally or prophetically some of the things that apply, but also we're going to look at how we can take some things and apply them to ourselves and help us to walk, help us individually to walk closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. So at this time, we're going to end lesson number 1.